Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced at the Melbourne Community Support Program and brought to you through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to Listen to Older Voices. I'm Rob Greaves, and it's my pleasure to host another of these unique and wonderful programs. This is the third and final part of the story of Fred Holmes. Born in Kent, the United Kingdom, in 1921, and emigrating to Australia at a young age, Fred has shared his story, triumphs, tragedies, warts and all, in an honest expose of a true Aussie. Never one for shirking hard work or responsibility, Fred has worked in the grocery trade and telecommunications, amongst a number of jobs. And he's also served his country during World War II, where, at one time, he was stationed as a guard in a prisoner of war camp for Germans, Italians and Japanese. After the war, Fred married, and even though the marriage lasted a long time, it ended badly for Fred. Yet he remains remarkably upbeat and positive, and we learn more this week to explain this wonderful attitude to life. In doing so, we learn more about Fred, his work with the RSL, his Christian beliefs, his concern for his fellow men, all of which have led to Fred's unshakable belief in himself, his religion, and his football team St Kilda. So sit back and listen. This is a wonderful story about a wonderful man.
Since I've retired, I did 15 years with the RSL. I wouldn't join. Anyway, I said, I'll give you 3 weeks. And like the colonel was in present. He said, Fred, we know you're a Christian. We do a lot of Christian visiting. How would you like to do ours? I said, oh, that'll be good. That was 27 years ago.
Good Lord.
The blokes they didn't visit, I did. And they came to know Jesus as their saviour.
So it's something you enjoy doing and it's something they appreciate.
Yeah. I remember one Sunday we used to have a technical school teacher well up in the Christian field and his wife was there. Now did the chap separate from his wife? I said to the chap, well, you can't sing. Come and listen to the message. So I put a chair. I was on the door. Everywhere I went, I seen end up on the door. It's in the Bible. Better be on the door of his house than amongst, I forget the text. Anyway, this chap's wife come around and said, made remarks, but this chap's wife came and sat the other side of me. And this lady came and said, oh, you poor little baby. I said, well, I was sitting there first. Next Sunday, I didn't go up. Yeah, I went visiting. They said, what happened last Sunday? I said, I went down to people who needed me.
Yes.
So I went back and funny type. Had another couple too to take over. But me and the girl that rang this morning, there's a church up the road here in Tacoma, and their pastor's coming tomorrow. He knows I've been crook, so he'll arrange a ride for me.
Mm.
So that'll be good, you know.
So that plays an important part in your life, your church, and your
religion. Yes, well, when I came on the council after working on leave during the war, I used to know Christian people, and some say, come to church. Well, that's not all right. It was no problem.
Mm.
And I was pretty rough.
Mm.
Not bad, but a bit on the rough side, you know. I had no hesitation in telling people where to go. But then while I was working one day, I was with a boss. He said, that chap and that girl, they know you. I said, no, never seen them before. Anyway, I knew where they had a shop, so I went in there. They were a Christian family, and I got to know them. I said, gee, I'd like to be like that. So I came back to the church properly. I even got baptised.
Right. How old were you then, roughly?
Oh, 40, 41.
Hmm.
About 50 years service I've done, and this is the longest break I've been crook.
Mm.
But we get crooked sometime in your life. But when I was a kid and told I was pinching fruit and all that, my brothers and sisters got measles, ringworm, all those things, mumps. Me, I got measles when I was 18. I got mumps when I was 32. I lost all my teeth a bit later because I smoked and I poisoned my gums. Haven't had a smoke now for 32 years. And I've never bought a beer, but December's getting close when we have our veterans dinner. Lunch, I say. Mm. Yeah, lunch, or middle of the day anyway. Sweet cherry, that much.
Okay, that's all right. Look, isn't it? I mean, you're hard to call yourself a drinker because you have one short cherry every Christmas.
The one I do like is Porphyry's Saturn.
Right.
It's a whitish wine. Gee, it's beautiful. I had a bottle given me for a present one day. My son said, "What's that doing in there?" I said, "It's been there 4 years." Anyway, after he'd gone, I opened it up, filled up a glass. It was a beautiful drink, and I poured the rest down the sink.
That's okay. You had your drink, didn't you? You didn't need the rest. Yeah.
So up north one day, had a chat with Victorian, and I lived up there, and I used to go up and try to get up once a year. I came in one night. I missed the bus from Coffs bound to Nambucca. See these glasses with shrimps hanging out? Oh, beaut. Then I was having my tea. I'd just gone blind. And they poured out these drinks, and I thought it was orange.
Mm-hmm.
And I yelled out, "It's Porphyry's." And they all burst out laughing. Then Elaine, the Percy's wife, said, "Fred, what are you doing?" I said, "I can't scrape the butter." She said, "Well, firstly, the knife's upside down. That's cheese."
This is all because the eyes were going, is it?
I say, I ring up Vision Australia. I said, "I want a new calendar for next year. I want one with a blind date." And I've done it down at Maxie's. Yeah. The girl was doing all the drive-throughs one day. I said, "You've got any dates?" She said, "Yeah, but they're pitted." "Oh, no good. What sort do you want?" I said, "I want a blind date." She turned around and said, "I might have guessed it was you." They're lovely to me down there.
Tell me, Fred, you've lost a considerable amount of your sight, obviously.
Yeah, I've got peripheral.
Yeah, and yet you still seem to be very jovial and happy.
I've got to be.
How do you cope with it?
Awful, because when I was in hospital, there's a girl, when I go over and ask her, she's only 20.
Mm.
And suddenly I remembered, gee, you're young. But then I marched through Melbourne with a rifle, thousands of people.
Yes.
And I was as young as you.
Yes.
And this lady said, "My husband was up in Darwin." I said, "Yeah, well, a few months after that march through Melbourne, I turned 21. I went out with two girls that night. The other one was 21 the same day. And anyway, we marched through Melbourne, and later on we got shifting. We didn't know which way we were going. We had two final leaves in a fortnight. And being in the country, I'll get extra again. But we did it, and like most servicemen, you get nerves, you get itchy, but they used to drink their troubles and I didn't.
Mm. Private Kirk is a funny little partner with a smile, a funny smile. Thank you. into Flanders with his smile, his funny smile. He was loved by the private and commander for his smile, his funny smile. When a bunch of soldiers came along with a mighty swing, but yelled out this little bunch is mine, keep your heads down, boys, and sing.
Hey!
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
Towards the end of my service in the West, I was at one of the staging camps. I see this young kid, brand new uniform, and he was actually shaking.
Sure.
And I walked over and put my arm around him. I saw an English sergeant. I called him over. And when he got near, I said to the kid, "Now, this man here will really look after you." The sergeant put his arm around him. A country boy, I think.
Yeah. Shaking. Just his head. Really scared. Yeah.
"Oh, don't worry, I had a few scares. I saw a plane. I thought it was one of our tanks. A plane coming straight at me. I went headfirst into the trench we had. I thought my heart was going to stop."
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets you, you know. But. Oh, I just battled through, but to break up my marriage.
Upset. That was the toughest, yes.
And then I had the kids for 3.5 years. She's younger than I was, and since then she married again and got divorced again. Mm. And when we went to the family court, which I didn't want to go, I had a solicitor. It cost me a couple of thousand dollars.
Not cheap, no.
And she said he can stay there till he dies. Because that's caused a lot of trouble. I can't help it if I can't die.
Well, gee, I'm sorry to put it this way, that's tough for them. It's good for you.
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And now people are saying, go into a nursing home. I'd really be in trouble.
Well, Fred, I mean, I've only started to get to know you today, and I understand that your sight's gone, and I understand your health's not terrific, but you seem to be happy here.
Yeah, well, I get people like yourself, and I get, look, on that Vision Australia, Jane, well, the things I say to her are not bad, but she never stops laughing. And I just come out with things on the spur. I tell them jokes, you know. This lady, I mean, that was the fourth, but the first one was funny. She was Polish. And her name is not Wanda, but Vonda.
Vonda.
And I said, "I think you're wonderful." And she laughed. And she told me a joke. She said, a woman said to her husband one night, "How many women have you slept with?" He said, "Only one. The others are all awake."
I think a sense of humour is really important, isn't it?
It is.
It helps you and it helps everyone around you.
Yeah. I tell them the jokes about, you know, Christmas joke. Three of our blokes heading up north for holidays, get to Watonga, they got killed. And then when they went up, Peter said, "Sorry, fellas, I'm going to celebrate Christmas. I can't do nothing for you tonight." And then he turned around the first one, he said, "Do you believe in Christmas?" He said, "Yeah, prove it." He had a Christmas card. "Right, up you go. Next one, what do you got?" "Holly. Piece of holly?" "Up you go." Got the third one, said, "Well, what about you?" He puts his hand in his pocket, pulls out this women's underwear. "What's that got to do with Christmas?" He said, "They're carols."
Merry Christmas, mate.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a lot of presents, we wish you a lot of presents, we wish you a lot of presents and a lot of good cheer. We wish you a Merry Christmas, 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 we
listen to Older Voices, living history on Ageless Radio.
I was telling about the bloke in England used to walk around with a penguin. Everywhere he went, he had this penguin. So a policeman pulled him up one night. He said, I think you ought to take that penguin to the zoo. And so he did. Policeman saw him the next day. He's still carrying the penguin, called him back. I thought I told you to take it to the zoo. He said, I did. Today we're going to the footy. They just come and they go.
They come and go. Yeah.
On the spot.
Look, our time's nearly up. I've got a couple of questions I'd like to finish up with. You've had a very interesting life, and it's quite a long life.
It's been unhappy a lot.
You've had unhappy times, but you've seen a lot and witnessed a lot.
Yeah.
What would be the biggest change you've seen in your life?
The change?
Yeah, what would be the biggest change in the things around you that you've seen over all your years?
My belief in the Lord Jesus, because it doesn't matter what down here, and there's parts of the scripture say, it goes past you and it's forgotten. And I say to many people, you ever done the gardening? Get some beans and peas and plant them. They're dead. They've got to be dead. They can't be green. And you plant them, and when spring comes, they grow up. When you die, aren't you more important than beans?
Mm.
And I believe in our life we have a spirit,
mm-hmm.
a Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. And one day Jesus is going to take me up to heaven, I'll be right. And no marriage up there. I don't know if I've got any good looking thoughts. But I go around, they call me an evangelist. I've done work in the church, but I speak as I'm speaking to you. First time I've met you, I always witness that I think all these things happening now is in the last testament, the old New Testament, that this world will slowly, when the new world comes, one will slowly melt away. And I think it's Jeremiah and the old one tells about all the people, you know, all the tragedies. There's a lot of tragedy in the world.
Oh, yes.
And you take America and this, the union they got in Europe, it's supposed to be 10 kings in the Bible. That union has started and there'll be a one world government and there'll be no cash you'll ever mark. That's in the 13th chapter of Revelation, I remember. And he'll have a scar on him and he escapes death. They thought it might have been Kissinger once, but in 82, I used to study it. But I don't think that we just come here and die and that's it. I mean, you're doing work. But when you die, it's nothing left of it. But I think there is, and I believe, and I know there is, and I've proved it. In the last chapter of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi, and God says to Malachi, but you rob me of my tithes and offerings. Bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse, that's the church, and you shall be greatly rewarded. And that was a big change in my life, because I'm still here, still talking to you, still witnessing, and perhaps he doesn't want me to die yet. I don't know.
But none of us know when illness, that time's going to come, do we? None of us.
Yeah, this last illness, I know I'm getting a bit old. Well, I'm young in heart, even though it's broken. I miss the children. My wife's taken them off me with their filthy, rotten lies and all that. But I'm still praying that the Holy Spirit will soften. They've been baptised. They did it themselves. That's the three of them there 20 years ago. Somewhere there's a photograph,
yes, on the floor there. I can see it.
Yeah.
Yes, the Esther, two girls and the boy.
They've all got biblical names. David's sitting down there. He's 6'4". He's unfortunately took the drink and couldn't make his way. I really looked after him. The police came here when the wife left. I signed for them. Incidentally, while I was in hospital, the police were here looking for me.
Because you were missing?
That was and Terry, who came into the hospital, he brought me home. He told everybody, our pastor, a recent pastor of ours, he took the address of a couple, the boy that ran away. he had their phone number but lost it. Mm-hmm. If he had given them the phone number, no police.
No, well, that's
so happens. I'll give it to him again now. But they looked like shifting, and he's 65.
Well, look, I've got one more question for you, Fred.
Mm.
You were talking about, you know, you've been on this planet far longer than you've got time left now, and living and dying, it's all part of being a human being. We all have to pass on eventually when our time comes.
Yes.
And hopefully you've still got a few years left yet, but when that time does eventually come and you do go up to Jesus, as you would like to do.
I'm sure of it.
As you're sure of. How would you like to be remembered by the people you leave behind?
For what I've done. There's a lot of people know me and what I've done.
Well, for what you've done. And you say that with a small smile on your face. You're obviously very contented with what you've done.
I am.
Yes, it looks like it.
There's an end to it. If I hadn't have come to Jesus, my mother set me up at Sunday school, and my sister told her grown-up kids, your Uncle Fred, they used to go to Sunday school, come out swearing with a Bible under his arm, swearing like a trooper. But I went back, and even though I was a little bit unruly, I still went back, and I've done different churches, not to see so much as to criticise, but what they do. The communion, most of them there only have it once a month. Jesus said, take it off you may. They got superannuation and all that. That's why some churches are closing, they can't afford to. Mm. The latest one was a $3,000 a year insurance in case the pastor says something wrong. We all are in trouble.
Mm.
But deep down, studying, I can't read now.
No.
I am a non-denominational.
Right.
I can go into any church.
Any church.
And...
Well, I said that was my last question, but I actually have one final question. Something you said to me a little earlier before we started our talk today.
Mm.
A census man came to the door to ask you some questions, and he asked you what your religion was.
Yeah.
But how did you answer that?
I've done it twice. I did it to a bloke too. Just... doing the census, and he said the same. Don't have to answer this question. What's your religion? I just said St Kilda.
St Kilda.
And then I said, no, I'm a non-denominational.
You've got two religions, haven't you, really? You've got your footy club and your non-denominational.
And Parandu.
And Parandu. Fred, our time is up. Thank you very much for being on the program. It's been an absolute delight.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
On behalf of the Upper Yarra Community House, the Melbourne Community Support Program, and all the wonderful guests that have told their stories on Listen to Older Voices, I would wish you a very Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year. We will present a selection of Golden Moment programs over the next 4 weeks and return with fresh programs in mid-January 2011. I'm Rob Greaves. This is Listen to Older Voices. Merry Christmas.
La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. See the blazing Yule before us. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Strike the harp and join the chorus. La 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 la. Follow me in merry measure. La 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 la. While I tell of Yuletide treasure. La 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 la.
Away on May.
But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.